Awakenings. That was a bit of Sea of Glass by Tom Middleton. Just a wonderful little musicscape for our mind today. I do hope everyone is doing well. Welcome to everyone that's coming into the chat room, Sacred Space of Empowerment. Wonderful to see all of you and connect with all of you. And welcome so much to all that are listening via iTunes, Cosmic Dimensions, and other podcast stations. It's great to connect with all of you, as always. I'm Michelle Miche, your host and co-pilot on this little venture, this part of the venture, this part of the path where we intersect here. Awakenings Radio, we really focus here on conscious living for conscious lives. It's really about taking that awakened state into your everyday living. We host dialogues with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, metaphysicians, mystics, authors, poets, spiritually minded people, spiritually integrated people, and progressive thinkers in their own fields that are waking up or are awake and taking this awakened state in their everyday living. Awakenings is also a timely relaying of essential information, insights, inspiration, and tools for transformation and spiritual unfoldment. And many of you hear me say part of the converging flow. We had a couple of emails come in and asking, what is this converging flow that you talk about at the beginning of the program? So I want to touch a little bit on that. And some of it you can do a little bit of research on as well. It really started around, I guess it was probably 87, 88. Yes, I believe so, which was the harmonic convergence. And it was this wonderful, I believe Joseph Aguilis of the Mayan Factor was a big, also had a lot of input on this, that he was seeing this harmonizing coming, this coming together that everyone was doing, or many awake or aware people. And we had literally hands across the city, across the state, and even over the border. So it was people all over the world coming together to hold hands, and also with an intention of this coming together to show that we really are this human link, this human wavelength, this bond, but also this spiritual, energetic life force, animating energy of the resonant field, that we are this collective, and really a outer vision and outer focus of an inner intention and vision to come together and to begin to harmonize. So what was happening metaphysically and esoterically in this harmonization was that this was the time that we, as a collective, began to say, to prepare for the Aquarian Age, but also to say, we've gone as far as we can over focus on the individualization, and it now needs to be an individualization or individual expression of God, or individuated expression of the all that is, or the individuated expression of that animated life force energy or innate intelligence, however you, infinite innate intelligence, however you want to look at it, that now it is time to come together and bring that awareness of being more than all we are, more than we appear to be, rather, to the aspect that we are more than what we see on the outer form. So the esoteric implications of this was when we really began to connect into right relationship and right livelihood. Now, that really didn't start getting really emphasized until 2005 and 2008, when we got into the quickening. But as a collective, the harmonizing began to take place. And this ties into times of the bridging point of the Atlantean and Lemurian time, which is also, energetically, it's about both of our natures. It's about our mental nature. It's about the the mind, if you will, and it's also about our feeling or emotional nature, that we respond out of these bodies. And of course, the spiritual energy that we are embodies all of that. So in this time period of coming together and harmonizing, this really began to create the greater shift, because the ultimate connecting is going to be in the winter solstice, December 21st, 2012, of the actual culmination or the conjunction of not just the, well, there's a lot of things happening. There's the Earth conjuncting with the galactic center, which again is us connecting in with our, in our roots, our true nature. So recognizing that we're not just these separate beings, or we're not just these physical beings or mental emotional beings. We're not these beings in a body, that we have a galactic, or we have a terrestrial, which means Earth, link, and an extra or beyond the Earth link. And what you're going to start seeing now is that you're going to start seeing some of this information decoded. There's a lot, and you've seen a lot of and heard a lot of titles, decoding this, decoding that. Let's see, Light in the chat is saying, why are we being drawn to this Atlantean and Lemurian energy at this time? Well, there are times that we live through, but they're also represent a part of our nature. The Atlantean time being what we call the crystalline time, or the use of crystals and our crystalline nature, which is our mental nature. It's a very mental time period of greatly advanced information. Advanced in the sense that it's using that higher mind. It was a time of great innovation, invention, and if you see that, that's happening now. And the crystalline nature that is a part of us, the crystals, the minerals that we are, aligns us not only to our Earth roots, but our beyond Earth roots, if you will. The extra, the beyond the Earth, the beyond the terrestrial. And so the Lemurian is representing our emotional, our feeling nature. And as we combine these two, we also live more within harmony within ourselves and obviously externally. So that feeling nature, emotional nature, connecting in with that mental nature, inventive nature, innovative nature, creative nature, the creator mind. And you can see how the crystal or crystalline nature is really playing out more as well, because you see in all of our technology, crystals are really, really important. The chips that are in cell phones, that are in obviously computers, and other such devices, all come from that crystalline or silicon area. You look at Silicon, which is Crystalline Valley, the energetics, there's so much energy coming from there, from that area, and you can see that the technology world, the world of the technocratic, the geek, the world of innovation, the world of science and math is coming more prominent now. But it's also blending with the spiritual aspect of us more. So it's not going to be so cut off. It's really part of this quickening that we're in is a heightening of the spiritual and also the science. It's where spirit and science are dovetailing together. It's where the unknowable, where the emotional, sensing, feeling aspect of us is coming together with the knowing aspect or the inventor aspect of us. Revel is saying, I'm Atlantean. Monopoly was just saying I was reading on this. Hello. Light is saying, I have read Atlanteans could breathe underwater and Lemurians could fly. Yes. You're right. If you're drawn to Labradorite, you may have once lived in Atlantis. If attracted to Azurite, maybe lived in Lemuria. Yes, well, you can ask yourself if you're more Lemurian-based or Atlantean-based or a bit of both, if you tend to be more science focused, more saying I think. If you like to really figure things out, that's going to be your Atlantean nature. If you're more sensing, if you're more of an empath, Atlanteans have a way of being able, they can feel vibrations from others and tune into those others, but they're also able to shift more into the mental sphere so that they're not as affected. And some people say a little bit distant, a little bit cold, because they are able to shift to not get locked into other people's feelings or emotions, aren't swaying them as much. Okay, and for some, none at all, not at all. Where Lemurians tend to be very, very, because they're of the sensory, of the emotional body, highly, can be on the shadow side, highly emotional, very sensing, very empathetic, very kinesthetic, tend to merge a lot. And so Atlanteans tend to be able to separate out a lot. And again, a lot of the Atlantean energy is also using that sixth and seventh chakra. Also ties into the 11th. And the Lemurian is a lot is using that third chakra, fourth chakra. So if you're coming more from there, and both of them also intersect in the fifth chakra. So the throat chakra of expression. Now one's going to express more mentally, another is going to express more emotionally or on a sensing level. So in the Atlantean energy, that energy in motion, the emotions, is tweaked in a certain direction that it goes into energy in motion more of a scientific. Well, think of crystals. Lemurian is more water-based. The Lemurians, it's said that Mu, which is Hawaii, specifically Maui, was where the continent where the Lemurians were, and later it became the land of Mu. And so water, if you're drawn to a lot of water and you need to be around water, or water you tune in when you're around water, then that's more of your Lemurian face. Revel says, I believe that one of our main goals is to balance and learn to live in a balanced state of being. Absolutely. Very good point. Yeah. Absolutely. In my experience and what I've received from the guides, very, very true. And, of course, these are all parts of us, parts of our nature. Some of us may have had a time there. There still is an other dimensional reality, an interdimensional reality of that place, of that existence. So it's more other dimensional as opposed to being gone. It may not be of this level or dimension. Let's see. Is it possible for people to be both? Yes, absolutely. Some people believe the Mu moved to become Mayan. Yes, absolutely. The Mayan also, I believe, also has a blending or a very strong connection also to the Atlantean. Some of you have heard me speak of the time that I was so blessed, so honored to work with one of the crystal, is the Lemurian. Yes, many think so. But you got to remember that some of them blended. There was, just like many civilizations blend, there can be a blending. And there also at one point was a traveling. It's said to be that the area of Ethiopia, the area of Africa, that whole area was said to be the beginning of time as we know it, where many of the seed beings began, and that the seed beings traveled, whether on foot, whether flying, whether shifting other dimensionally, and were seeded with other beings, the called the first dwellers, and that they found themselves in different parts of the world. And this is why you see many of the indigenous people, and some of us have part of that, I do have Native American also within me, but you can see whether it's the Mongolians, the Inuits, some of the Native Americans, the Indians, like of Peru, Brazil, some of the people of the Himalayas, even the Tibetans, that they all have a similar stature, they all have a similar face, and of course all of us have come from this on some degree, some level. But that seeding happening, some from the north, some from the south, some from the east, some from the west, and that seeding, the first seeding, began to establish our nature here in a third dimensional playground, if you will. So that seeding, to seed the earth and have an experience and an expression as earth beings, and to be able to separate out, because as you expand or as you ascend, there becomes less and less separation until you are back into that oneness. So that we go back into collective being. So in a sense, this has been a wonderful, and is a wonderful, expression or experimentation, and an expression, experimentation of us as reflective consciousness, reflecting back on ourselves to separate out and be able to reflect back. Now we're coming back together. Now that's where that cohesiveness comes in. Collaboration, cooperation. This is the converging flow. So out of the harmonizing comes the converging. So we separated out to individuate. Now we're harmonized or harmonizing to converge, to come back together. And Manipali is saying, are we bringing these civilizations back into being? And then Rebel Singh, probably building on the foundations those civilizations set forth. Yes. Yes, the first genetic mother was traced back to Africa, and I believe more in the Ethiopian area. And Light is saying, I think we are here to remember and learn from history. Yes, but the weaving back together or the bringing back together, as you're saying in the chat room, is building back on from our collective and also individual memory. And also to remember that we still are of that substance or of that life or lifetime that we lived before. We still are part of the collective, even though we are seemingly separating out or have separated out. It's that converging flow, and it's interesting, Greg Braden talks about this, the coherence, and there's actually a movie that's trying to get out the converging flow, so it was such a wonderful confirmation for me with my spirit guides, the hierarchy, the spiritual hierarchy, and the oversouls, working with that galactic federation of light, the light beings, that the guidance was that after the harmonizing comes the converging, and that sets into motion for all of the Aquarian age and beyond, that there is this cohesiveness that, now for a while there might be, you know, and you can see this already happening, there's going to be a heightened focus on separation or separating out, only in the mainstream, only in the mainstream or race consciousness. What begins to happen is that people begin to connect into this harmonizing within themselves. It's first happening within themselves. And as it's happening within themselves, ourselves, if you will, it's happening out. Manipali saying, I'm so happy right now. This is what I've been feeling. Wonderful. Yes. So there's a tearing down, and if we look at it astrologically, that Pluto in Capricorn, there's a tearing down or a separating out to build better systems, better structures, and that's better systems or structures within ourselves as far as a better relationship to ourselves, to others, our relationship to our environment, to our life. Tammy's putting heart-centered coherence. Yeah, now that's actually another really great point, that there, you know, medical research has actually proven that the heart is also a form of the brain. Some are calling it the first brain, that we actually interpret information and get, in its, you know, I don't know, nanoseconds, but we get impressions and information through our heart and process that information, and it's transmitted to the brain, which integrates more of that information. So again, you could say the heart-centered energy, the heart center is the Lemurian center. It's the feeling center. And the Anahata center, and the brain is the Atlantean center, the pineal gland, accessing those expanded states of consciousness, which are include the emotional, but to a sense are non-emotional, or they just are. There's a neutral state when you're in that expanded or meditative state. But something similar happens when you're in a state of compassion. There's a deeper understanding. So when you put those two chakras, those two energy centers together, the fourth center, the heart center, the sixth center, the sixth chakra, that intention or will center, you access, as those are integrated, you access and shift into the ninth chakra, which is the place of ascension. And that nine chakra is also a culmination. It's a completion point. And in that completion point of the individual, we automatically move into that 10th chakra, 10th energy center. And that 10th chakra has to do with connecting into ourselves as a group or a collective soul. The 7th chakra has a lot to do with our individual soul. The 8th chakra has a lot to do with connecting to the higher self or expanded self of consciousness. But there's still a bit of duality there. By the time we're accessing the 9th chakra, 9th energy center, 9th dimension, we are living in that unified state with the full awareness that we are that unified field. There's a seamlessness to that. And from there, there is that ascending into that collective energy, not only just as a group soul, but 11th as a group, as a collective of the all that is. And then we get in the 12th, we get into that synthesized form where we merge again. At the 11th chakra, or 11th energy center, there is an awareness still of a being a seemingly individual being. I want to say individuated energy form of love, light, wisdom, and innate intelligence. At the 12th is the synthesis, and the 13th creates another organism. And it's interesting because this wheel corresponds also to the astrology wheel. And we have so much predicated on these 12 energy forms, whether it's at the Last Supper or the Apostles. Each of those is representing a quality of energy. Each of those people or persons, a path and a quality of energy. But by the time we get to the 12th, there's a synthesis. And after that synthesis comes in or takes place, that 13th is the sum total of who we are. Some call it the 13th planet. Some call it the 13th part in the chart, the astrology chart, but it's just the sum total. And that astrology chart, each of those pies represents, I'm going to dive into this a little bit because I don't know if our guest is showing up, and I'm on a roll, but I want to share something with all of you. And really would love your feedback. Also, if you want to call in, 347-539-5122. I love it. And also questions in the chat room are great. So what's happening now, this awareness is, as we extend it out from what we call the heavens, as the God nature, the sky beings that we are, as we extend it out from being the planet, from that planet to almost, because the physical body that we are, the dense physical emanation, is only a quarter, if that, could be a little less actually, a quarter of what we are, let's say that. So you can feel it, you know, you can feel your aura 6 to 8 feet out. Now, you can do externalization exercises where you begin to feel the energy behind you and you keep extending your focus behind you as far as you can, and to the left of you, to the right of you, in front of you, to below you and above you, so that you begin to, this is the beginning of, you know, remote viewing, that you're able to move your consciousness, your awareness, to such an expanded state that you can see what's happening around the block or 3 miles or 10 miles or 1,000 miles. Or other dimensionally. So we're reflecting consciousness. Each of us is a point in consciousness. Hey, thanks, Light. Flying solo here with all, well, not really, all of you are here with all of you. So why this is important? Because we have to reclaim this awareness. We have to reclaim these gifts, these talents, and that is also what a big part of this Aquarian age is about. This is also a big part of the shift to 2012, is to move into, from victimization into victoriousness, from consumerism into creativism. So from, instead of, because what we do when we're over-consuming, we become these passive. We no longer are these participants. When we move into creativism or co-creationism, when we move into that creativism, we begin to connect back into our galactic roots of being co-creators. We already are co-creators, but a lot of what we've been co-creating has been very subconscious. It's been more from the ego template and not from the soul template and not spirit-led. It's been from conditioned responses. So it's almost like we got automated. We got into this automated lifestyle, you know, right around the time of the industrial era. But what that began to do was shut people down on a spiritual level. And we began to over-separate out. There began to be this over-focus on individualization, over-focus on specialization. So we began to focus on the parts. Now, you did begin to see in the late 70s, I believe, and definitely in the 80s, you began to hear holistic. Now, parts of Europe didn't lose this, you know, with the I think it was in 1880, the onset of homeopathy, you know, like treating like, and also treating the whole individual instead of the symptom. So there was starting to be a subtle movement, even though under, you know, on top of it all, this industrial focus was about separating out and titles, over-focus on titles, and this is where we began to automate, or the manufacturing boom coming in, which was all great, but then what began to happen is that we began to over-automate even ourselves, and in over-automating even ourselves, what began to happen is that the spiritual nature, the true nature, began to lessen, and that connection to the soul, that connection to what is the individual's gift. Now, it also happened to a degree in the East, in Asia. Now, even though they had a very prevalent spirituality or spiritual focus or spiritual philosophy, or for some, you know, religious philosophy and focus, or religious principles, spiritual principles, it's there to the degree lost the soul, because they went over to the, not just the collective soul in a sense of religion. So it still didn't connect into the person's individual soul. So in essence, we thought on being individual, but it was being individuals influenced by the collective mainstream or a collective stream. Whoops, there's Yoshi. So we began to be over-focused with that, and that over-focusing, even though people thought they were being individual, they were really being overly influenced. Did you guys hear my little Yoshi? Overly influenced by the race consciousness, or and energetically, and also on a physical health level, this came through as the miasms, but the mindset that created the miasms, or these, what we would call group influence. But these group influences came from a man-made construction, a man-made desire. And instead of being used to heal and bring wholeness and bring all of our complete parts, it began to use to disempower. And so when people feel disempowered, what do? We look around, yeah, oh, what startled Yoshi? Everybody, Yoshi's okay. Someone knocked on my front door, and I'm in my, yeah, so that she's okay. She's sitting with me, though. She's a little guard dog. She doesn't know what's going on. It's like, why can't I bark and why can't we open the door? Because I'm on Awakenings Radio, Boo-Boo-Nookie. But she's doing fine. You guys probably couldn't hear the door, someone knocking on my front door. So what happened in the disempowerment became to be the dismemberment. Now we're coming into the rememberment or remembering. So we began to see that we were little parts instead of a whole, over-focusing on the parts. And you saw this also reflected in medicine. You saw this also reflected in lifestyle, that people became over-focused with the physical and with the physicality instead of also all parts of us as an individual. Some people splintered off into more of an emotional nature, you know, or blocking the emotional nature. Some people splintered off in trying to block the physical nature, the emotional nature, and overly focusing only on the spiritual nature and trying to leave the body or get out of the body or feeling that they were put on earth as a punishment or there's some place to get back to, some place better. Heaven, anywhere. Anywhere better. Shambhala, let me get out of here. So the splintering, some people fearing the spiritual and only focusing on the physical and not wanting that physical body to shift, change, morph, crossover, die, if you will. Some over-focus on the mental and cutting out the emotional or the spiritual or even the physical. So out of this dismemberment, remember dis-ease, this is separating out. We've gone as far as we can with that. So now we're remembering. We're bringing that remembrance back in. And many are here, whether it's light beings, star seeds, combinations of, are encoded with this remembering. They never lost the remembrance. They may not have fit so well into society. That's why many people in some level didn't feel they fit well in society. It was like not feeling that they belong, but yet feeling that they belong to the universe or the total, the collective, but not maybe feeling they belong into a certain family or a certain society, especially that society, that family was overly focused on the mainstream mores, if you will. Let's see, did anyone just lose sound? I hope you guys lose sound. Let me know. So if we look at the chart, astrologically, so each of these parts, each of these in a chart, each of these pies in the chart, the 12 pies, represents aspects of us. Let's see, Ravel, Awakening, you don't have to mention this, by the way. My brother has been going, okay. Oh, the dough, okay. So Tammy's saying, yes, we're swinging back and forth and fighting the middle way. Absolutely, absolutely. So now what's interesting, that first house represents our need to be independent and develop self-awareness. It's how others see us. It's our image, it's our outer personality, and it's ruled by Mars. So it's your capacity to act and assert yourself based on a personal desire. Now what's interesting is we have Uranus. Uranus is going in, it's coming out of Pisces, going into Aries. So what does that mean? That does mean on some level, some form of destruction, individuation, innovation on a personal level has to do with on a personal level. So as a collective, each of us individually are actually having our own little mini earthquakes, our own mini shifting. to bring us into more of a state of awareness, to bring us more into a focus of expansion on the individual. So that's why some people say, oh, is it going to be a time of unrest? Is it going to be a time of coming together? Well, it's going to be both. Many are going to be coming together, and many people are going to be separating out, thinking that they have to overly focus on them, you know, the us against them. You know, my family, my group, my life, my religion. So you're going to see that, but you're also going to see the light beings and the star seeds. You're also going to see that the star seeds and the light beings doing something different. And what are they doing? They're coming together. They're coming together in this converging flow. And from this harmonizing that we're talking about, and this converging flow is what's bringing us it all together, so that little by little, the outer emphasis on separation and fighting and us against them begins to lessen. And in that lessening becomes that new awareness, that new spirituality, if you will, which includes all of us, which includes all parts of us. So not just all of us on an external level as external beings. And Tammy is saying break down to break through with love and light, of course. Absolutely. So that breaking down, it's happening. What we need to remember is that it's all happening simultaneously. The co-ruler of Aquarius is also Saturn. So it's Uranus and Saturn. So there's a dissolving, a dismantling taking place. There is a separating out. There is many earthquakes within the earth and around us, or you know, the water, all the elements being affected, because we are those elements. But it's also happening within us. So as we're breaking free, as we're shaking things off, shaking the dust off, the rust is really what it is. Just like when mineralization happens and it gets rusty, or it calcifies. We're getting rid of the calcification to be flexible mineralization. But we're also building up. So there is this building up and focusing on new structures and new forms. And so that's represented in that chart. And then our second aspect of our nature, the second slice of the chart, and this is in the esoteric astrology, has to do with our need to be resourceful, productive, stable as our personal resources, but it's our capacity to attract. We've got some interesting aspects to Venus. So we're shifting what we value, what we want to attract. We're shifting that. So we're seeing that. Now, sometimes some of that is obviously coming from people saying you have to downsize, or what's happening with the economy, or what's happening, you know, with institutions, or what's happening with certain jobs. Yes, that's the outer form, but the inner form is spirit coming through. That is us, that innate intelligence of the all that is, saying, okay, this has been a fun game, but what else is there? Let's attract something else besides just the material or the tangible. Let's attract groups of individuals that work together and play together. Let's attract new inventions. Let's attract new innovations. Let's attract more of a spiritual nature. Let's attract more of an emotional nature, a mental nature. Let's not focus on the materialization. So that's being shifted. Then the third aspect of our nature within the wheel is our need to communicate and learn from others. So you're going to see a major shift as well in a focus on communication. Again, the COs, and I'll put that in the chat, the COs. So communication, collaboration, anybody else think of any other ones? Cohesiveness, cooperation. And what are those COs are? They're us coming together. Oh, I love it too, Tammy, the shifting paradigms. So the COs mean joint, mutual, common, co-education, co-equal, co-produce. So we're moving in, so from individuation, it's, you know, from independence and dependence, that's a separate, being overly dependent or overly independent, into interdependence. So it's moving into that, to co-own, to co-op, to co-respond. So the COs have to do with the joint, the mutual, the common, and that is very much of the Aquarian age. The joint, the mutual, the common, and the common man, woman. So making it that we don't have the kings and queens lording over us, those paradigms are shifting. That it's all people come together, like a cooperative garden, you know, a co-op. So that's why you're seeing all this spring up. It's springing up so that we live out more of our true nature, which is all of this. And you saw this also with the idea, you know, which the guides had told me, the spiritual higher had told me in, I guess, 95 when I was working with a group of quite a few stockbrokers. And what came through was more individual, and I mean individual in the sense of community, I guess is a better way to put it, as opposed to federal, but more city, more community, city, and state focus on government, on governing, more bartering coming in, working for an exchange of energy, not tit for tat, but more services. I help you, you help me. More of a cohesiveness, more cooperation, more synergy. And that these trading chairs would be gone. I think that there were $880,000 a seat to be able to trade on the floor, that those would be no more. And that we would be trading by computer. And that everybody would be trading, many, many people, regular, common people. And I remember people telling me, you're crazy. You're crazy. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So back in 95, within 2 years, it already started happening. And then, of course, we had that whole tech boom, and with people trading on computers, you saw people trading online. You know, $9 a month, you can trade, you know, not having to always work with a stockbroker. Again, so that layer of I'm up here and you're down here, or you're up there and I'm down here, it's people taking back their own empowerment. Well, I can do my own research and see what I want to invest in, and I can do it from my home. I can do it from my personal computer. You saw the boom of personal computers. You saw the boom of email. You saw the boom of the internet, which is used for the government, which again would be a higher tiered, right, group for a small amount of people. Only for a period of time, only companies, corporations, quote unquote business people used email. Well, now it's for everyone. Whether you're 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, you know, have email accounts, have cell phones. The cell phones at one point were only for people in the Army, Navy, you know, the military, then, you know, armed forces, you know, wealthy business people, right? You know, companies would fund them, and they were huge way back in the day, right? Then they became smaller. They became more accessible. They became more affordable. And then there became many ways to have them, many different plans, or you can even buy disposable ones. So bringing it to the group collective, that individuals can make a choice, but it's available to them. And so you're going to see communication, because it is also that mental plane of the Atlantean energy, very important for upliftment, inspiration, empowerment. you're going to see how it's not just groups communicating, but the individual. Microblogging, Twitter, Facebook, blogging, people starting their own radio programs like this, TV programs. So again, the playing field way more level, way more fun. Now, a lot of people say, okay, if that happens then, how am I going to make money? I did a workshop a couple months ago, and I had some people asking this. How am I going to make money then if everybody's doing this, if everybody's doing the same thing? And I said, yeah, you know, when you have a party, where you have a dinner party, and you invite some people over, and they bring one or two more friends each than you thought, you share the pie differently, or you bake another pie, you bake another quiche, or you get out other food and you spread it around. Remember, we're infinite mind of an infinite intelligence. So on the old model, the old paradigm, there's scarcity, there's not enough, because it was built that only a few, the elite milieu, would get the bulk, and that it would be, and they thought that the only way to keep the economy, which is that energy, the universal energy, going, was to have a lot working for a few, and that few would know what to do. Well, that's going to be shifting. It's a lot working, a lot co-creating for the whole lot. Because we're moving into that remembering, from not remembering, from disempowerment into empowerment, to bringing it all together, that we can make our own decisions in accordance with the collective and in support of the collective, but also in a support and accordance with the individual. Oh, Tammy's saying yes. Inclusive. There's enough room on the top mountaintop for everyone. Absolutely, Ravel. And then the thing is, more than enough, there's plenty for all, and it is abundance, Tammy is saying. Absolutely. And the interesting thing is, I love that analogy, there's more room on the mountaintop for everyone, is that there are many mountains and many tops, and not everyone wants to go to the mountaintop. Some people want to go to the beach, and some people want to go to the trail. And some people want to scuba dive. So it's interesting, the scarcity belief that happened, the misuse of the universal laws, the misuse of cause and effect, the misuse of connecting in as collective or abundant beings, infinite beings, the misuse of that information, that hiding of that information, made it easy to say that there's scarcity, that everybody wants the same thing. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, I did a video project. It was for a television pilot. I think it was called Dare to Dream. Yeah, it was very interesting. So I was, part of my job was to go on the street and street interviews. Probably everybody's seen them on TV. And interview people to see what is success. And because they were trying to get a determinant factor, I think this was probably around 2000, trying to get a determinant factor of what is success. Is success the same thing for everyone? And it basically is everybody going for the same thing. And it used to be thought that, you know, everybody wanted to be famous or whatever we want to call popular or look a certain way and be like how people we see on television. Or the celebrities, or how, you know, because in the 30s, it was looked at, oh, you had these icons, these Hollywood icons. So a group of researchers were putting out there that there's a certain attainability or a certain level of success that everybody wants, and it looks a certain way, or does it look a certain way? Is it influenced by commercialization? So I did these interviews, and a lot of it, the common threads were money or having enough money. A lot of people were, I know it was a wide range of people. I think money, but security was a big thing. Doing well in their business. Some people were going to school. Some were students and doing well at school to be able to get a job they wanted or, you know, the career that they wanted. That was kind of a common theme. Some did want to act or perform or be on TV, but a large portion brought in the spirituality. And then we even went into the questioning, well, would you want to be on, television or, you know, would you, you know, who do you see on television or what actor or, you know, movie star or film star or musician or artist or something? There began to be a common theme or thread as we asked more questions and polled more people, that spirituality, peace of mind. I feel successful if I'm doing what I love to do, and I also have peace of mind. I'm already successful because I have a spiritual nature. Now, we did do this in Southern California, too, but then we also had some people saying, oh, I don't want that. Who says I want that? Or who's, I don't care as long as I'm living happy. That's success to me. So there was a wide range. Yes, some of it had to do with some kind of financial stability or success, being able to do what you want to do, at least most of the time. That seemed to be. But also there seemed to be a turning point where it was more about the inner peace, happiness, friends, family. I have friends and family that I love, as I recall, but also the spiritual nature and that inner peace. So, again, we're not all going to want to go for the same thing necessarily. Let's see. Tammy is saying in the chat, we're not here to succeed as much as we're here to evolve. And that will and does look differently for all of us. Yeah, I would agree. That's a really good point. It isn't, and I think that's also, if you look at it with the collective, that it is about what do we want to do individually. And what do we want to do to fit in or blend in or align to or be in resonance or be in coherence with the collective? But our individual nature, we're all a little bit different to what that success is. And it gets easier as we follow our soul nature. If we follow our soul nature, if we begin to know our soul, our true essence, then we have a wonderful balance of being influenced by experiences on the outside, maybe being influenced through inspiration, maybe being influenced by a nudge here and there, sometimes an outer nudge, which to some degree is a part of us perhaps reflected on the outside nudging us. But we begin to also focus on that which gives us the deepest meaning in our life. And that deep meaning in our life can only come from a revealing within, when we're allowing that which is emerging through us as us to flow more freely. Then we're in sync. Then we're in alignment. Then we move into that flow consciousness. The next part, and I want to go through this with because I've been focusing on this on a bit, focusing back on the nature of the soul and how the soul imprinted or imprints our life or is an imprint of our life. It's one and the same. The soul is an imprint and our life is an imprint to a degree. If we're aligned, if our personality is aligned to the soul, if we're living that alignment, then it really, our life becomes an extension. It's our soul expression. And one way to look at it is through astrology, that each of these pieces of the pie or the chart are aspects of us or modes of expression, the way that we express our energy. And then the fourth is our need to give, the fourth house, Cancer, the moon, is the need, our need to give and receive emotional warmth and security. It could also be our home and our family. It's our capacity to have unconditional love. It's also our foundation in more of the psychological focus of astrology. The fourth house has to do with our foundation and our beliefs. And also the mother nature. But that loving, mothering, nurturing energy, again, and with also an emphasis of our foundation, what is our emotional foundation. And that fifth house or fifth mode of expressing, which is Leo, the sun, is our need to express ourselves creatively. It also rules children, creative projects, love affairs, risk-taking. It's our basic identity, not the external But it's our basic identity as a soul or being, a solar or soul being. This fifth house also is being really emphasized with this fixed cross that we're in right now, with this Aquarian Leo access. So that 11th house that we are, I'm going to touch on that, is our need to be innovative, original, creative, social, and create social change, our social beings, but ourselves as group beings. It's the social aspirations, it's the group interactions, friends and associates. It's our unique individuality, but it's us as collective beings. And so that Aquarian energy that we're tapping into connects us into the polar opposite, which are complementary. Actually, it's the polar opposite, but it's the complementary energy of that fifth house of being sun or solar beings, creative beings. So how can we be creative beings and be cooperative and cohesive to the collective and not necessarily bumping against the collective or fighting the collective, but having tolerance? So you will see, you know, next year specifically, there you're going to see more of a fever pitch of people pulling apart or separating out. Separating that wheat from the chaff, separating out to find the resonance that each group or person is within yourself, separating out from behaviors or habits that no longer support, or you've outgrown, or you've, as Tammy put in the chat, evolved out of. Separating out from people that you're no longer in alignment with, knowing that we're all connected, we're all one, so we're all spiritually connected. We're just talking about you may not be around them physically or materially. You may not be around them mentally or emotionally. You may be finding yourself in different directions next year. Next year, major turning point of this separating out and coming together. This is the time of the reconfiguration where there's a separating out. Remember this, reconfiguring, recalibrating. So this separating out that's happening, this reconfiguration, this recalibration that's happening is meaning you're separating out from the old or what's no longer working, no longer supporting, or just done. It's going to be a falling away from some. And then a bringing back together in new ways, whether it's within your inner psyche, your modes of being, your beliefs, separating, you're going to find, and some of you, this shift, you're going to see a little bit of this shift probably June, July this year, maybe for some July, August, you'll see a little bit, but really it starts even more prominently next year, or it Dick's Gateway, November, December, but really highlighted next year. So for some people, it's going to start a little bit sooner. Some people, it may already be starting. You're going to see it really, really more prominently next year, 2011, and pretty much right at the beginning of 2011. And what this shift, you're going to see, many people are going to be moving. You'll see a lot of moves. People, even more people than what you've seen, letting go of homes that aren't working. You know, some people, you know, they're upside down in their homes. Part of this is that old belief that, okay, I am my house, I am my credit score, I am this or that. You're going to see people thinking, you know what, this is too hard, this is too much. I'm gonna, you know, some people it's going to come in that form, in the material form. Some of people it's going to come in beliefs. You know, this belief is limiting, or you know what, I can't believe that anymore. You know, let's say a 65-year-old that thinks that they're supposed to have retired, and maybe they can, but they also say, you know what, why should I? My heart's still ticking, and I'm alive and well. I've always wanted to open this business, I'm going to do this. So you're going to see, let's see, how does it correlate with the November 2008 shift? Well, the November 2008 shift is when we really started, and it's a good question, Reveal, that it's when we started really dovetailing into the right relationship and right livelihood, really that alignment, and you started to see a lot of focus on relationships. I saw a lot of people break off with relationships, a lot of people break off, get with someone else, a lot of people break off and say, I need to work on myself, or I need to follow my own path now. A lot of business dissolving. And you saw in 2008, right? A lot of things merging, a lot of companies splitting off. You saw a lot of, disruption, arguing, remember, within the politics, within about the economy, a lot of differencing of opinion. So again, that right relationship, we have to have that right relationship within ourselves. And part of that is this, what we call the soul alignment, as our personality is aligning more to the soul. The soul is trying to connect in more with the personality to be more of an extension of the personality. So it's really a wearing down of the constructed ego so that the body temple is not just a hull, it's actually infused more with the soul's imprint and spiritual energy. It's really more aligned to the true nature. And you see people like that. You say, God, they have soul. You can feel that someone is living their truth, their path, their passion. Now, it goes further because 2009, the gateway, November, December in 2009, we began to shift into a lot of shadow material. Now, mind you, all of this has been happening already. All of these changes that I'm talking about have been happening incrementally, little by little. The only difference is the time periods that we're talking about right now, and as Revel put in the chat, is that they became more heightened, more emphasized, so that more people were feeling it, and even more people that are not doing inner work or working spiritually. You started seeing structures in their life breaking down enough collectively that they had to start focusing on this. Whereas perhaps before they wouldn't have focused on this. All of these changes were instituted or quickened or started happening more quickly or more intensely or more emphasized in 2005. 2005 is when the quickening began. That's the hastening. Things began to quicken. You can look back at time, our focus on time and how we experience time began to change for many of us in a great way. You started hearing more about synchronicity, divine timing, divine right timing, living more synchronistically, following the signs. Now, we've always talked this way. We've always heard this way, but you notice a leap, and you could even see yoga became more prominent. You started seeing commercials with yoga. Next, you're going to see more about meditation. Or using meditation to mediate, using meditation or meditative states, you're going to start hearing more of that. You started hearing more about spiritual centers. Right at that time, a lot of churches began to be called spiritual centers. Happened a little earlier, but if you look back, you could see that there was definitely, actually that between 2003, 2005, instead of a church or synagogue, now a spiritual center. Spiritual philosophy instead of religion. Because when you say spiritual center or spiritual philosophy, it really opens it wide. A lot more, as Tammy put in the chat, it's a lot more inclusive. A lot more people can relate to that. But when you say a lot of times religion, people, there's a lot of charge there. It's already, well, what religion? If you say spiritual center, no one says, well, what religion? But if you say, you know, I'm going to my religious center, I'm going to a church, oh, what denomination or what religion are you? See, so that language even is changing a bit. So we don't have language that's just separating. Because if I say religion or if I say church, oh, are you Catholic, are you Christian, what are you, you know, synagogue or Jewish, are you Sephardic, are you, you know, Hasidic, you know, fundamental, you know, what are you, you know? So we're becoming more inclusive within ourselves, within all these parts and all these aspects of us. And because we're becoming more inclusive, the world around us has to be more inclusive. And this doesn't mean we're not going to have things separating out and we won't have preferences, but we're moving away from aversions, hating something, moving into that. No, I don't like that. That's just not my cup of tea. Moving into that middle way, that Zen middle way of neutrality. That's fine. That's what they want to do. Or that group over there does that, fine. Or that city does that. But we do this over in this city. So to bring that inclusiveness, And that is a really, really, really huge, huge, critical, pivotal, important emphasis and focus in the Aquarian age, in this age of enlightenment, of light, recognizing that we are light, of enlightened. We are light beings. How do we live that? Bringing that artisan, craftsman quality things, that boutique quality of things, that individual quality to things, but in a way that fits in with the collective. So that things don't have to be anymore mass produced. Or if they are produced, if they are manufactured, do they have the love and the attention? Is the connection still there? How do we do both? You know, how do we do that in our own life? You know, how do we have more care about what we eat, what we watch, what we focus on, what we read? Do we read things that are nurturing us, nourishing us, uplifting us, inspiring us, allowing us to be more aware? Do we read things that are fun? Do we do things that are fun? How inclusive are we? How integrated are we? Is it always friends first, or is it family first? What about you in your life? Are you coming first? Are you so over-focused on you that no one else really exists or can connect in? Rivalect, is vibrating at a higher individual level get us closer to critical mass? If so, can you speak about critical mass? Absolutely. Now, the more that we are inclusive within ourselves, the more that we are allowing, this is what the whole shadow material is up about, that started at the end of December 2009, right in that gateway, November, December. And I've been doing a lot of workshops right now focusing on the shadow, which, by the way, the shadow isn't always, you know, non-life enhancing, or somebody say the negative or the bad part. You know, somebody, you know, the shadow is just not taking, it's balancing out our psyche, our inner psyche. So if someone's always playing quote-unquote the good part, or they're always the one that gives in, and they're always the one that says, it's okay, do what you want to do, it's okay, do what you want to do, that person needs to integrate the shadow aspect, because that person, you know, is going to attract people that are overly self-focused or self-directed and probably a bit selfish. So that person's shadow material is to embrace the part of them, the energy of them that wants to say, what about me? I want to do it my way. So it's the balancing again that Monopoly put in the chat. It's about that balancing. I think Tammy did as well. When we're more balanced, we don't have stuck energy, stuck states of energy. We don't have energies that are stuck in the past or held back in the past at a certain trauma or focus. All our energies are brought into the present, more flexible. And so the more people that are doing this and living this way individually, the more people that are not living stuck in one part of the polarity plane, that are not living dualistically, like this is wrong, this is right, this is good, this is bad, that they're resting in the center, that this is right for right now. And resting in that center means being in the present moment as much as possible, bringing your awareness to the present. So even if you have worry thoughts or things that are going on, notice it and then go, okay, but I'm in the present now. What am I doing right now? What am I focused on right now? Using that contemplation meditation or contemplation focus to bring my awareness to the present, focus on the present. That raises your vibrational frequency. That begins to. The next step is to be more spirit-led, to feel where is the subtle energy nudging you? Where are you slightly guided? Maybe it's a flash of insight. I had something I've been contemplating for a while, and it came in my awareness to make a certain change, to go in a certain direction. I'm going to have to adjust something in my schedule. And I witnessed it, and I made a note, and I thought, okay. And I sat with it. And then I just went about my day, and this has been like about a 3-week, and I said, well, okay, but if it keeps coming back to me as a flash, and it feels there's a nice resolve there. Because if something's coming from your intuition, there's going to be a resolve. There might be, there can be a little fear, but you'll feel a peace and calm at the same time of, well, this is what I need to do. This, okay. It'll be very neutral, in some ways kind of soothing. And it'll come in a quiet, calm voice, a sensing, a knowing, a flash, an understanding, a revealing. And so you can check yourself on that. Is that coming through? So if you're following that resonance, if you're following, where am I being led? So who's being led? It's the ego personality. It's the personality self being led by the higher self or the part of us that's undifferentiated. So if we're responding to that part of us, which means we're being responsible to that part of us, we're being spirit-led. We're following the template of our soul. We're following the impression or the imprinting of the soul, which always leads to more and more growth, awareness, evolution, consciousness, expansion. It always includes all opposites because it rests in the center. It's the totality. It's the totality of all aspects of the chart in the right alignment, the right balance for that individual or individuated soul. So when you follow that resonance, then you begin to attract. Here's what begins to kick in or draw in or activate the law of magnetic attraction. So if I'm following my resonance, if I'm following my spiritual nudging, like my spiritual GPS, I'm being guided, then I start having these synchronistic connections, just like Manupali put in the chat. So he said he was reading something earlier. Now we're talking about it in the chat room here. So if I follow that resonance by what I'm receiving from my spiritual nature, being spirit-led, if I begin to respond to that and follow that, then more of the all that is me emerges through me as me. More of my spiritual nature comes through. More of my soul nature comes through and infuses the personality. So now then at one point in the soul alignment, they become one and the same. And to some degree, they are one and the same. What happens is that just parts get split off, and we construct a false way of being. And so it's that peeling off. So as that's peeled off and I'm more spirit-led, I get in my own flow. I become moving in the flow consciousness. As a flow being, I begin to attract what's of the most life enhancement for me and all around me that fits into the whole collective that also includes me. And as I'm following that resonance and following the synchronistic timing, connecting to the synchronistic events and synchronistic connecting, the divine right timing, I begin to light. I begin to connect into that light body. I become lighter and lighter, more light, more that true nature comes through. And I begin to ascend. And that requalifies and recalibrates the energy, which raises the vibrational frequency because I'm following my signature frequency. I'm following my true tone. I'm, instead of discordant tone or sound, I'm now in a harmonized tone because I'm harmonized to my true nature and my true path that's evolving through me as me. And so I'm following the path and I'm co-creating the path because I become one and the same. So you've heard this as the dance. And so as I'm enacting that law of magnetic attraction, I'm magnetically attracting to me. I'm having to do less effort, less push, less pull, because I'm attracting what I need and want. And now I can begin to consciously create. Because as I'm attracting what's more aligned to my true nature, I can create from consciousness what's really of a soul nature, what's really needed, what's really necessary, what's really life-enhancing. And as I'm consciously creating, seeing that I'm consciousness made manifest, and creating more and more aware, creating more with my soul nature by being spirit-led, and my creations are everlasting and ever abundant. They're more and more abundant, more and more alignment with all aspects of all parts of me. And as I'm more and more consciously creating, then I enact a loving law of allowance. I allow others to have their creations and do what they need to do, even if we don't resonate. But they're in their own creation. I have that loving law of tolerance. I'm allowing. I allow for myself and I allow for others. And so that each of those steps, if followed, but you first have to attune or you first have to align. Hi, Sylvia in the chat. You have to first align to the true nature. once more and more are doing this, we do begin to connect into that critical mass. We've already reached a certain critical mass in 2005 with the quickening. In 2008, there was another, that was a major turning point. And you saw that because Pluto moving into Capricorn, the structures beginning to dissolve or dismantle. The next critical mass that you will see is that people look, and it's already starting to happen a little bit, but you'll see it more in 2011, looking for the new forms. And many of us as light workers, as star seeds, have been creating these new forms. And again, that converging flow from all over, all walks of life, all focuses, all areas, all arenas, all fields of expertise, all fields of expression and living, waking up and having this awakened state into their everyday living, creating new forms from a more conscious, more awake way of being, creating new forms on the internet, creating new forms through books. These new forms are what holds a new paradigm in place on the third, fourth, and fifth dimensions. The dimensions more of form. So those new structures, new laws, new roles, new rules in a more expansive way. And so you're going to see next year people further waking up and saying, now what do I do? Where do I go? How do I do this? Or I want to do this. Or I want to live more fulfilled. I want to live more inspired. I want more meaning in my life. I want more me in my work. I don't just want a job. Or if I have to have this job just to make money or bring money or draw money in, where else can I have more fulfillment? How else do I have more fulfillment? Where do I give back? I want to be more of service. It's not all about me. I want to help someone else. Ooh, it feels good when I help someone else. So next year specifically, as there's more dismantling, you're going to see people responding more to that, even though you will see some responding in the way of the us and them, in they're holding that space for the extreme play of consciousness, of separation, of separating out of good and evil, right and wrong, bad and good. The shadow, you're going to see the shadow enacted a lot more on a wide level, on a more overt level, on a very obvious level. Now, some people are already seeing that now, because it's already starting now, but we're talking about for it getting really into the general populace. You know, you're going to hear people say, well, I always thought I was this way. I always thought, Rebel, what is a starseed? Ah, starseed light beam. Those that have remembered their other dimensional or beyond terrestrial roots. I hate to say extraterrestrial because people get a certain view picture of that. But they're beyond Earth roots. And those star seeds, if you will, star beings, were seeded within the Earth beings. That's a better way to put it than human beings. So they have the remembrance and the living out of that expression, of that dimension, of that way of being. They never lost that connection, and so they're seeded with that information and that knowledge, or carrying that seed and helping to seed others and to seed forms, focuses, structures that bring that knowledge or that awareness. That would be one way to actually put it. So you can see we have this major focus right now. I talked about that Leo Aquarius axis, but we also have in that Grand Cross the Taurus Scorpio axis. And that Taurus being our values, our principles, our beliefs, our personal resources, and our Scorpio nature to go deep involvement, transformative experience. It's also the occult, the esoteric. Our shared resources, whether financial, sexual, emotional, psychological, unions, our intimate unions, able to renew ourselves. So what does this Grand Cross bring? What is the focus? Again, we're looking at it astrologically, but we're bringing it in as energetic beings. As it was said in the chat about rebalancing our energy. What it means is, how can I bring more of my deep esoteric nature and see that into my values, principles, and beliefs, and live that? How can I see that and feel that as a resource? Call in that as a resource. How can we integrate that more? And again, we're talking about this not only individually, but as a collective, in seeding this into the race consciousness and the general populace, so that I don't just see money as my resource or time, but energy. I begin to see my awareness, my wisdom, my life experience as part of my resource. And I begin to use that jointly. I begin to connect, collaborate, co-create with that. I begin to live more deeply. So the general populace begins to live more deeply, more connected, more aligned. And what does that mean then? How do I do that? Well, I do that also by my connections. I do that by my creations. So that soul alignment brings in that cross, that we become that disciple, or we have the discipline for our path. We're a disciple of our path, and we have a discipline for our path, whatever that is, however it manifests. It could be a fashion designer, a chef. But doing it with full consciousness that my creations, my self-expression is not only important, but it's needed, it's necessary. The piece of the pie that I am energetically, the beingness that I am, the reflecting consciousness that I am, is needed and necessary. Needed and necessary aspect of the all that is, and of the play of consciousness on the earth, on all dimensions, all the universe. And how do I have joy with that and understanding that? And how do I express that and live that in service of the whole, in cooperation? That's simply what in service, there's going to be a paradigm shift about service, selfless service, seva, that it's also not being of service, is being cooperation. You know, it's as if all of us going on a camping trip, being in service on that camping trip is, hey, how can I help get the firewood? How can I help fix the meal? So being in service to that little group right there. So being in service is, how can I cooperate? How can I collaborate? How can I move into alignment of coherence? So as I'm in coherence within myself, I'm coherence, following my signature frequency. The pattern that I am, the pattern of energy, that pattern of innate intelligence expressing individually as me, it's an individuated aspect of the all that is. If I'm in coherence with that, with my sound, I'm led where I need to be led, and I connect with the people I need to connect with, and I cooperate and share with those people, those individuals. Because I know that we're all, in a sense, into this together. So very, very interesting times, you know, to, as Tammy put in the chat, evolve, this evolution that's happening. And that fixed cross is a transition. From the mutable cross to the fixed is a transition. Do I go forward on the following my heart and bridging that with my mind, my intellect, my logic and reason, my deep understanding, my knowledge, my inner knowing? That's that Lemurian Atlantean nature. And then just to kind of touch back in and wrap up, we've got the sixth part of us, that sixth house, house of Virgo, Vesta, the need to analyze, discriminate, for need for personal and psychological integration. How do I synthesize what's right for me and put it together? How do I focus my energies to integrate, to grow? How do I know where I need to grow? Well, I know it by contemplating it. I know it by analyzing it and allowing it to rearrange and to assisting it in rearranging these aspects of me or behaviors or patterns of light. A seventh way that we express and experience our need to cooperate with others, create harmony, that seventh house. To come together as one-on-one for meaningful relationships. Another way we express an experience, we touched on this, the Scorpio, the Pluto, deep transformative change, the esoteric, shared experiences, shared resource. How do I renew myself? The ninth house or the ninth way that we're expressing out, Sagittarius, Jupiter. How do I explore? How do I expand my horizons, my world? How do I tap into the collective mind, the broader vision, the broader viewpoints of myself and others, philosophical, our search for meaning and understanding, higher ethics, beyond the everyday regular justice, so to speak. The tenth, my need for structure, my need to connect in with a structure, a social group, my public self, how am I out there public in my life, and of course the 11th, our need to innovate, be original, to connect in with groups. And then the 12th, that synthesis, my need to commit myself to a dream, the collective soul. We go back into the collective at the 12th chakra, at the 12th wheel of light, or the 12th house on the chart. The collective soul, how do I connect into the higher ideals, the spiritual? How do I merge back in? How do I transcend the finite self, the little self, to merge back in? And of course, that 13th chakra, or 13th planet, some say, or 13th slice, is the sum. After I've integrated, after I've merged back in, after I've transcended into the collective, I express and extend out again as a new unit of time or a new organism, because we're never the same. That's like the 13th in the tarot, the death. When we go through a major transformation, we come out anew. That death, birth, right? Or birth, death, rebirth. I come out anew. I'm so changed that I'm different, but yet I'm the same. I'm the sum total of everything that I was and always was, and but yet I'm different. I'm new. And that is a focus on 2012, the new. Do I come out of this anew, restructured, rearranged? And what are the forms that hold this new? It's been wonderful. Our guests did not show up, and that's fine. It's interesting, so many synchronicities, and even Monopoly was putting in the chat room, the sacred space of empowerment, to focus on this. And maybe it was just a time for us all to look at this and to kind of map out some of these general steps or evolutionary steps that are taking place and to have some reference points. And one thing I would say is trust that inner you, get those confirmations to know that, yes, I am being spirit-led, and to allow that which is you, the true essence of you, to emerge through you more as you, and to live that emergence, that evolution, in a way that brings more love, light, wisdom, deep meaning, and fulfillment for you and those around you. Just remember how you are. Not who you are. You're a spiritual divine being. You're the all that is, the life force animating energy. But how you are is needed and necessary at this time, just as you are. Lots of love and light to all of you. As usual, great to connect. And if you'd like to connect with me, you can email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com or also on the Awakenings radio page on Facebook. And until next time, continue to share your light, shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake. Let's end with a little happiness by DJ Petey from moontribe.org.